She peed right away and was like, okay, back inside, it sucks.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Nick Glover, Tim Wick, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, it's a Geeky Boners episode. Boner noise! We're going to talk about cars, keyboards, and fun summer activities.
We're geeks without God.
Hey, welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Nick Glover, joined as always by my co-hosts, Tim Wick.
Hello.
And Molly Glover.
That's me, Molly Glover.
And this week, we are recording again in the glorious Deepwood Mott Studios of House Glover.
Yes.
I'm on call, so if I have to step away and hand off hosting this episode, it's because some internet thing broke somewhere.
Also, there's a puppy chasing a Bengal cat right now, and it sounds like they might be noisy.
Yeah, so get used to animal sounds, I guess.
Things are super exciting here in the living room studio.
Yeah. So, it's a Geeky Boners week.
Boing. It's been a while.
The dog's boner is chasing the cat.
Yeah, she's all about chasing the cat right now. It's like really like her big thing.
The cat's boner is pretending not to enjoy being chased by the dog.
Yeah, it's going to sound like the cat's really getting hurt. The cat's fine.
Yeah.
So yeah, don't call anybody on us.
Yeah.
So, hey Tim.
Hey Nick.
What has you rigid?
It's dumb. It really is dumb. But
I think all of our boners are dumb this week.
Yeah, not mine.
I've got a new car, which is kind of cool. I haven't had a new car in like 20 years. The last new car I got, it was a Ford Explorer, and I drove that basically into the ground. So I'm going to tell the story of why I haven't had a new car in forever.
Please.
This is who cares. But anyway, so I drove that basically until the engine died. And then Pat and I were like, hey, let's get a Prius. We really wanted a Prius.
Yeah.
So we went to get the Prius, and at the time I still had an office job. And Pat's like, you know.
So this was several years ago.
She's like, you know, I've got the minivan, which has way worse gas mileage than the Prius does, but I drive for a living, so I should probably get the Prius. So what happened is I got a new car, but then it became Pat's car, and I got her van. So I've been driving her van since then. And since then, there was a really good deal on the trade-in for her Prius. She traded in her Prius to get a new Prius.
So Pat's gotten two new cars since your car died.
Since my car died. And I've been driving the van. Well, finally, and we were like, when Pat's car gets paid off, I'm going to get a new car.
Right. Yeah.
So finally, Pat's car got paid off. So I'm like, sweet. Let's start looking at new cars. And, of course, we went and looked at new cars, and I wanted a Prius. I've always wanted a Prius. I wanted the better gas mileage.
Yeah.
And we went into the dealership, and it was like the end of the 2019 year, and they only had a few cars, and I ended up buying one. So I've got a new Prius, which it makes me very excited because since we did all this exchanging, I now drive for a living. And I was driving this car with the shitty gas mileage.
Yeah.
So I had like less than 20 miles to the gallon was what that van was getting.
Highway?
I'm a little better on the highway, but I did a lot of city driving. And the Prius gets like 50 plus.
Yeah.
So it's super exciting.
That's awesome.
But the other thing is that now, since I have a new car, you know, cars do all sorts of awesome shit that they never used to do, right?
Yeah, it's great. Like tape decks.
I know. when my phone's Bluetooth is on, I can call hands-free from the car.
Yeah.
And just, there's a button on my steering wheel that I can press.
For your music, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm assuming your van took CDs?
It did. And the car has a CD player as well.
Ooh. Oh, shit. That's impressive. Wow. That's impressive.
It has a CD player, but I can also hook up an MP3 player, or I can hook up my play music off of my phone.
Yeah.
And
I miss having a CD player in my car. I regret that mine doesn't, because it means I can't have one of those phone mounts. Like, as easily. Yeah.
No, I like having the CD player because I like being able to burn burn my, you know, playlist.
Yeah.
Because there are times where I like listening to random music, and there are times where I like listening to the same 15 songs over and over again.
Sure.
He likes to just put in a direct CD and masturbate and while driving.
And listen to every note that I miss. So, because that's all I can hear. Just so you know.
Does your car have, what's Apple's thing? It's CarPlay?
No.
Okay.
No, I didn't get that. I think it's like the lower end of the spectrum, which sure, is sure. still a lot of bells and whistles, but
I mean,
like us.
Yeah, it doesn't have GPS, but I just use the GPS on my phone.
Yeah, anyway. Yeah.
Right.
So I don't need that. But it also has like all the newfangled shit, like it can detect cars on either side of you, and it starts beeping if you get too close to anything on either side, or if you get out of your lane a little bit.
Yeah.
Which is both annoying, but also kind of cool. I mean, the blind spot detector, which is right on the rear view mirrors. So if you're like looking one side or the other and you see the light on, you know that there's a car in your blind
spot. That is so great.
Yeah.
I'm envious of that.
It's just, the hard thing is to remember to still look.
Sure.
You know? And it's just got all sorts of cool shit that cars didn't used to have, and that my car didn't used to have. And I just love the fact that, the thing that I think is cool about the hybrid cars is when you turn them on and they make no noise.
Yeah. Yeah. When we had a Prius in 2008.
Something like that.
And like when we first moved here, and I remember like when like people, I would give people a ride when you pull away and they'd be like, oh, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, no, the car's on. And it's like, I did not know. Like, I thought we were just parked, and then all of a sudden we drove.
that joke in the show Weeds, where the dealer ends up buying a bunch of Priuses for his crew because no one can hear you coming.
Yeah.
Like for a drive-by or something. It's like, when you drive slow past someone's house, or you're driving up to do a deal or whatever, you get that electric quietness.
That's great.
It's super quiet. And the other thing it does is when you turn off the car, it gives you a grade to tell you how well you did as far as fuel consumption. And it's like 0 to 100. And it'll be like, you might want to lay off the accelerator a little bit.
What's your average grade? What's your GPA, Tim?
Actually, it's in the 70s. I found it very hard to get it much
passing. Better. That's Pat. Yeah. You're passing.
Yeah, I'm passing.
I find it very hard to get
it any higher than the 70s. So, you know, anyway, new car. That's my geeky
boner.
That's
a good boner. That's great. That's a good boner. Nice, yeah.
Molly, what's
it's a very quiet boner. You never feel it coming.
Like, you don't even hear it getting hard. It's not like, it doesn't make a sound like corn growing.
Nope.
So you're not wearing, like, vinyl or, like, corduroys or something. Molly?
Yes.
What's your boner?
My boner is a little scattered right now, but I found they all kind of come under the same outdoor recreation. Mm. I'm very excited about the impending good weather. It is currently, it is May 21st, but it is about 45 degrees outside right now and raining.
Are you certain there's impending
weather? I know. So it's going to,
I'm not convinced.
It'll happen. Okay. I feel like our seasons have just sort of been like tilted where like, this is late spring. Even though it's May and normally it'd be early summer. So, like, I think we're just going to have great grilling weather all the way until October, you know?
The thing is, I was just in Florida. Oh, yeah. Lucky me. But it was like 95 fucking degrees. And
yeah, we were in Florida last June and it's,
And it's not supposed to be that way in May. In May, it's supposed to be like, you know, 80s.
Mild and pleasant, yeah.
Yeah, pleasant. But anyway, so it's like, I left here where it was super goddamn cold and I went to Florida where it was super unseasonably hot.
Yeah.
And I came back home and it's super hot. And I'm just, I don't know. I'm tired.
Yeah. Your balls just can't take it. Yeah.
But like, because we're not going to do RenFest this year, and we're also, when we decided to retire from Renaissance Festival last year, we also decided that this year and this year only, we wouldn't do anything with Fringe other than maybe go.
Okay.
And see shows. But we wouldn't participate. We wouldn't put our names in, and we wouldn't try to audition, and we wouldn't like try to be in shows.
Just to have a
year where the whole summer, you know, we're just like theater goers and consumers of entertainment as opposed to purveyors. So
we can have a summer.
Yeah, so as a result, for the first time in a long time, we have a summer, and so we bought a grill. We waited for the good cheap grill sales that come around this time around Memorial Day and Father's Day and all that stuff. So got a grill, a propane grill, which is exciting. I got my container garden planted. This year I planted salad stuff. So I planted spinach and romaine, which I've never grown before, and that's really exciting. Got a boner to see those come up because that's always fun. And then
romaine grows pretty fast. You ought to be able to grow more than.
Yeah. It grows, and then you when you chop it off, you just chop it off at the base, and then it just grows again from its base. So we should be able to get multiple salads out of it.
Tons of romaine.
Yeah. Plus we're growing lavender and rosemary, which makes good chicken and steak marinade and rubs for grilling out there. And you throw some rosemary in with the corn husks and then grill them on the grill, and I'm very excited for all this. We have the puppy now, and she likes being outside, so we're making plans to go on some go find some hikes, maybe even camp. We have a big tent that we never have used beyond
we used it once,
but it's we got it for as a wedding present. It was on our registry list, and so that's exciting to the idea that we might go camping this summer. And then I planted some flowers, and I've just been sort of doing stuff outside more, and it's just really exciting, and it's been really relaxing because work is still really nuts for me, and is gonna be nuts until about August. But once August comes around, everything is suddenly way better.
And eventually you'll be able to tell us all why.
After Gen Con, I'll be able to tell you all why. Okay. What I've been doing for the last 14 months and counting. And it's huge. And I'm very excited. But it is still really a slog. I've got, and not just from that big announcement, but Journeys in Middle Earth, which came out recently. That's a continuing line, obviously, and I'm on that. I'm on a couple other new games, and they're all sort of happening at once, the projects all lined up. So work is super stressful, and I sometimes come home and all I can really do is just watch a couple episodes of TV, eat dinner, and go to sleep.
Yeah.
But on the weekends, I've been really trying to get outside, and these recreational things I've been doing have been really helping with that and just giving me a way to relax. It was funny, I was struggling to think of a geeky boner tonight because I realized everything I've been doing is the comfort food of geekiness. I'm rereading Stephen King books. I'm playing Animal Crossing on my DS, getting ready for the new Animal Crossing game. I'm doing all these things I've already talked about before. We're training Peaches. Just stuff that we've done before that it's just kind of, I feel like I'm in a holding pattern, but soon there will be convergence and a million amazing geeky things happening, and it's very exciting. But
we'll have to do an episode on that as soon as the schedule's finally
gone. Yeah,
I know. Soon, I'm ready probably. For it.
Yeah.
Tell those people in programming to get their shit together.
I can tell you stories about that. But I will not.
We don't want to know what's getting you flaccid. We want to know what's getting you hard.
Right.
Exactly.
But yeah, so I've been enjoying the outdoor experience of, I love living in Minnesota because I think we get a lot of great outdoor time, and even when it's literally a dark and cold rainy night, it's still windy.
It's also super windy.
I didn't wear a jacket tonight. I'm really not looking forward to going back outside.
I could lend you a jacket.
I'll be all right. It's not that far between here and the car.
That's true. It's not far at all.
Yeah.
But anyway, that is my boner.
That's a good boner.
It's decent. It's all right. It's stressed out, but it's doing its best.
That's an above average boner.
Aw, thanks, baby.
That's very sweet.
Speaking of above average boners, how's your tumescent load lately?
Over the past week, I've been working on a really fun project, and I just finished it this weekend.
You've been talking about it for at least 3 weeks. This is something you've been planning for a long time.
Yeah. So I've been wanting to make a mechanical keyboard. I've been using this DOS keyboard, which is a off the shelfish, but higher end.
So not lobsters.
Mechanical keyboard
off the shelfish.
Yeah, it's a full 10 key, and I've been wanting to do something else for a while because the switches it uses are these things called Cherry MX Blues.
What are switches in a keyboard?
So each key.
You think of a keyboard as a thing you type on.
So each key you push is a switch, right? Because you're activating an electrical switch.
saying, make the thing that makes
make
the letter.
Make a P.
Yeah. Yep. So like,
make a P.
Make a P.
Yes.
So, and the, and the key press is down and then up. And it measures both down and up, yeah. right? Downstroke and upstroke of when you're making P.
Sure.
So, so the old keyboard I had used these switches called Cherry Blues or Cherry MX style switch blues,
okay.
which are very clicky. They're like a very high pitched, like clicka 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 with every with every key you press. And I've wanted to get, and I'm a really heavy typer. I have big hands, and I
you have blunt fingertips too.
I bottom out a lot, which means when you push down the keys while you're typing, you hit the bottom. And
the bottom of the board that the keys are on,
so
basically?
The key cap, the thing with like the letter or the number or the arrow key on it, that's the cap that goes over the switch. And so when you push down so hard that the edges of that cap hit the plate or the part, the PCB circuit board or the case or whatever it is it's mounted on, when they hit down all the way, it's called bottoming out. It makes a noise, and it's impact, it's shock on your fingertips.
Uh-huh. Sure.
And your fingertips have a lot of nerves. You can get repetitive stress injury from over typing too hard. It's really rough on your fingers and even your wrists to some degree. So, and I type a lot at work, so I've wanted to do something custom. So I did this in stages. It's so absurd. So I bought this thing called a GMMK, a Glorious Master Race Mechanical Keyboard.
What?
It's referred to the PC Master Race, which is this stupid dichotomy among video gamers where people that play PCs refer to themselves as
the Master Race, as opposed to console gamers.
Who are the
inferior.
Sub, yes.
Yes.
It's awful.
All right.
Gamer culture is toxic as fuck.
Yes, it's true.
No
okay.
doubt.
I just wanted to make sure that you weren't making it up because you couldn't remember what the M was for.
Nope. No joke. That's what it's called.
All right.
So, but it's a good keyboard and they're not white supremacists. It's just stupid gamer culture. So I got this 10 keyless keyboard that has hot swap switch mounts, which is you buy a bare keyboard. It's just the aluminum case with a circuit board and all the places where you would put switches for the keys.
Yeah.
That way you can buy a bunch of different kinds of switches and put them in the board and find out what kind of switches you like without having to do any soldering to permanently mount the switches.
Okay.
And that way you can do like, I want my space bar to have more resistance or my arrow keys to be clicky so I know when I'm hitting it and that sort of thing.
That's cool.
You can kind of mix and match. So I did that. I bought like a couple different, like a sample pack or two of like types of switches to try out. And I figured out what I like and I figured out what I need. And then I bought them and I bought a circuit board and I bought a case. And I busted out my old soldering iron, and I put together a keyboard from fucking scratch.
Which is a big deal, I just want to say, because he won't say this, but he has historically been terrible at soldering and was worried that he wouldn't be able to pull it off, and instead did it very well.
I was, like, in high school and stuff, like, super lazy, sloppy solderer. Even just, like, 7 or 8 years ago when you bought me a little tiny, like, LED kit, I fucked it up and it didn't work. And so my solder joints are so fucking clean on this keyboard.
Yeah.
They look really nice. I've got a Tada 68. So it's like a 68 key keyboard. So it's not even, it's fewer keys than a 10 keyless.
Okay.
It's just like your alphanumeric with the side, like escape, tab, caps lock, shift, that sort of thing. The right modification keys and arrows. No function keys, no 10 key. It has delete, page up, page down, and that's it for the side, for the middle ones between the 10 key and that. The way you do all the extra stuff is one of your keys is a function key that you hold down. And so if I hold that down and hit page up, it does home. If I hold that down and hit page down, it does end.
Okay.
But I picked what all those keys do.
Okay.
So I programmed it. So it's literally custom in its programming as well and how it functions. Every single switch, I soldered an LED into the switch for every single one. I fucked up one key and had to desolder it without a desoldering tool and then resolder it after testing it with the other keyboard and stuff. So And then I did the really, really super absurd shit, which is lubricating the switches.
That took you all day.
It was like a 7-hour while watching TV project. So it's like 70. It's like 70 keys on a keyboard, right? On this one. Every single individual little plastic key, I cracked open, removed the spring, removed the stem, and took a little like model figure paintbrush.
Yeah.
And this thick mechanical lubricant, like grade zero machinist's lube, and lubed the inside and the stem.
I'm glad we're talking about lube.
Yeah. Professional lube.
The inside and the stem of each individual key and reassembled each of them before soldering them into the board. Because you have to do it before you're soldering anything in, otherwise you can't take them apart. And so if you're deciding whether or not you're going to lube your keys, you kind of just have to just do it ahead of time or never do it. So I did it. And over-lubrication is a real problem because I use tactile keys. If you over-lubricate, you lose the bump feel when you push down the key. Mm-hmm. And I totally over-lubricated one or two of them, and they are a little bit more linear than tactile, but they still have really good resistance. So they're really stiff keys.
He is, by the way, playing with the keyboard as he's
jamming
it.
Yes, he is.
He's fingering his keyboard.
He's fingering it. Yeah. He's fingering his boner.
It gets more geeky. I bought a sheet of adhesive neoprene rubber. And I attached that to the back of the steel plate that the switches mount in before soldering, and cut out each individual square for all the different switches and for the stabilizers, so that there's a layer of rubber sandwiched between the printed circuit board and the plate to absorb all of the impact and vibration and to silence it a little bit as well. Then I lubed the stabilizers.
Good, more lube.
Yeah. So like your enter key and your spacebar key and your shift key, they're like wider.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So there's one switch in there, but there's these things called stabilizers on the left and right side with a wire in between them to like make sure the key press is even.
Right. That otherwise,
if you hit a side, it'll like seesaw.
Yeah.
But they're not, because they're not switches, they get a little rattly. So I use dielectric grease inside each of them, and in mounting them, and then further clipped them so that they don't bottom out against the printed circuit board. And then I went and mounted it all in the case and put it together and programmed it. And
that's amazing.
I put all my scrap leftover neoprene rubber in the bottom of the case, under the circuit board, to deaden a little bit more of the sound and make the bottom a little bit heavier.
Let me hold it. It's a decent weight for a boner.
It's really solid.
For a boner, it is.
I like that your boner involved lubing, mounting, bottoms, and fingering.
Yeah.
So I,
from a boner perspective, it may be one of the best.
Yeah.
The keyboard has really good what's the mechanical keyboard nerds call thock rather than a click.
Yeah.
So, do you guys mind if I just like type into the microphone for a second?
Go right ahead. All right.
So,
it's picking it out, sort of.
Is it?
I mean,
here. I have an idea.
I see something happening.
Yeah.
This is going to be the most interesting episode.
That's fascinating.
So, you all get to hear my...
He just was really excited just now. She was like, what are you doing?
So it was, and I got some really colorful keycaps on there for now, and I it was a really, really fun and satisfying project, and it makes me want to go do some other amateur soldering or small electronic kits and that sort of thing.
Like it's a super fun hobby.
Yeah, it was very good feeling of accomplishment.
Just start doing keyboards on Etsy.
Yeah.
People legit do that
sell them for a lot of money, I bet.
Yeah, no doubt. All right. Especially if you do all the fancy modification shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. So that's my boner.
I like that your boner is backlit.
My boner is underlit and backlit.
Oh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. So, Molly.
Yes.
We have 5 questions from a listener.
We do. We have 5 questions from a friend of the show, Nate Gerber.
Hey, Nate.
Yeah, so he sent us 5 questions, and they are typically, Nate, they are snarky.
Oh.
They're for snarky questions.
They're snarky questions.
Grumpy snark
they're
questions.
They're great. All right, so question 1. If you could remove one character from the Marvel Cinematic Universe, who would it be? I would remove Darcy Lewis. Add something to the story, Darcy.
Have we had this question before?
No, we just talked about it when we talked about our Endgame stuff.
All right.
We talked about who we didn't like. But now Nate wants to know if you could remove a character from the MCU. No, I'm gonna rule that means they never existed, and any storylines that involved them wouldn't have happened.
Oh.
So think of it that way. Like that might make it a little different. What
Jigsaw.
Jigsaw?
Jigsaw.
Yeah.
If we got rid
from
of
the
him.
Punisher?
Yep. If we got rid of him, it wouldn't affect the movies at all, but it would have affected the 13 episodes of Punisher I had to sit through where he complained about his face, his beautiful, beautiful face.
His slightly scarred face.
Yeah. I'd get rid of Jigsaw. They did the character wrong.
Yeah.
It detracted from the season, and it really sucks that was like the second to last thing that Netflix goes out on.
It kind of ruined the season.
Yeah.
It really did. Yeah. Yeah.
I agree. I can get behind that.
The villain from Thor 2, I don't even remember his name.
Oh.
Because I don't care.
Amalekith, the Dark Elf.
There was a lot, like the stuff in Thor 2 that was the Thor and Loki stuff was good. And I just, if they could have come up with a better villain, that's what they needed. So I would just erase him.
I would remove Jane from the Thor.
That's another thing you could
because that was the most boring. Like I will. I am never interested in the superhero who is a god or of godlike status, loving a human, and the tension therein is just so dumb and so overdone.
And plus,
especially since they didn't handle it well.
And Natalie Portman doesn't seem super interested in doing a lot of Marvel movies, so it's not like we're ever gonna get.
Like what was the
Jane Thor?
There was no point in any of.
Yeah, they broke up off screen.
Yeah, if you just removed Jane and instead it was the same doctor and Kat Denning as the assistant with the whole meow meow stuff, and like everything else could be the same. All that would happen is there'd be a lot less mooning around in that movie.
Yeah,
yeah.
I don't disagree with that.
All right, question two: what is your favorite K-pop song and why? If you don't have one, how can I help?
Send me some.
I don't have a K-pop. I don't have a favorite K-pop song at all.
K-pop is fun. I love K-pop.
I totally do not have a favorite K-pop band at all.
Yeah.
I'm unfamiliar with the...
Well, I mean, one of the things about K-pop is, like, you have to be... There are age restrictions for, like, how old they have to be. Like, if they get
How old they can be.
Yeah, how old they can be.
Oh, okay, okay.
Like, once you age out of K-pop...
Sure, so, like Menudo.
Turn over...
Yeah.
The bands in K-pop turn over really
fast. It's interesting. He's wanting to know how he can help, but later he also says, I hope I can come up with a topic to join you again soon. Maybe that's what we need to talk about.
Maybe he can help.
Maybe he can help us by coming on the show and teaching us about K-pop.
That's the God K-pop episode I'm in.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I have to be. It's all
right. So how can Nate help is, I'll give Nate a list of like five bands that I really like, and then I'll say from this deduce
like
what K-pop
that's
I think.
Good. That's good. Like, All right, we'll do that.
Okay.
We'll do that. All right, question three. What superhero who has not been in a live action movie or TV show would you like to see on screen? Is it Longshot? Yeah, me neither.
it's not Longshot.
So who hasn't been depicted in a live action and you would like to see on screen?
I'm gonna cheat with my answer, and I'm gonna say Rogue because they haven't done Rogue right.
That's a bullshit answer.
They've literally done Rogue.
I said I was gonna cheat. What part?
If you say you're gonna cheat and then you do it, that's fine.
Cheating?
That's Munchkin rules.
Yeah.
Moon Knight.
Oh, ooh.
Moon Knight. I think Marvel has expressed interest in doing Moon Knight. I think Moon Knight would make either a really good, like, Marvel Knights, you know, Streets, Hell's Kitchen story, or a really good movie. I think they have a serious opportunity to cast a person of color as Mark Spencer.
Yeah.
And make his whole Egypt backstory, origin story thing a whole lot less awkward.
Yeah, yeah. Instead of it being kind of weird white savior, it could actually be an Egyptian guy.
It's kind of Iron Fist-ish, you know, white guy goes to other culture and gets their magic powers.
Guess what? He's the best one they've ever seen.
Yeah. There's no merit involved to this.
Right.
And it might all be in his head and he might have no powers and just be crazy. So,
yeah.
But yeah, I'd love Moon Knight to happen.
I'm going to take the definition superhero a little loosely and go with Death from The Endless. I would love to see.
Oh, yeah.
I would love to see. I don't want to see the Sandman comic as a show. I mean, I do. That'd be great. But I think just a Death show would be amazing.
Yeah.
Where it's just like kind of like Dead Like Me. But yeah, Death, the High Cost of Living. Just turn that into a show or a movie where it's, you know, episodic. The different, you know, lives she takes and then like the friends she makes along the way. You could do the Hob Gadling storyline of the guy who wants to be immortal.
Yeah.
So Dream makes him immortal. Yeah, I think that'd be good.
Yeah.
Okay,
I'd watch it.
Question four. What is your favorite video game movie? Or at least hated? Most tolerable video game movie?
Jesus, how many are there? There aren't that many.
I'm going to go with Detective Pikachu. Because that is the best video game movie I've ever seen. And it was very funny. And I very much enjoyed it.
I have a soft spot for the abomination that is the Mario Brothers movie.
Oh, yeah, it's bad.
It is bad. It is a product of really, there's a lot of behind the scenes drama
that
happened that made it really, really bad.
Yeah, Google around and watch. There's some YouTube videos about it that are amazing.
Yeah. But I mean, John Leguizamo is in it.
Bob Hoskins?
Bob Hoskins was.
Academy Award winner Bob Hoskins.
He was shit-faced drunk.
Yeah.
For the filming of the entire movie because he was so upset and so frustrated with the process that he was just trashed the entire time. But, like, it's a super weird take on Mario and, like, the fungus and Bob-ombs. Bob-omb is great in that movie.
It's crazy.
The boots they have. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's really bad movie, but fully acknowledging that it's an awful movie, I still enjoy it.
Sure. Okay. Tim?
I'm looking at movies based on video games just so I can.
I mean, we know that Sonic isn't out yet, so obviously the clear winner hasn't been reviewed.
I'm gonna have to go with Mortal Kombat, not because it's good, but because it is so spectacularly stupid.
It is terrible.
It is so spectacular, and just the music, Mortal Kombat.
Oh,
part of it is just friend of the show Wendy used to make fun of the music.
Yeah.
From that movie. Mortal Kombat.
Amazing.
I mean, none of these movies are good. As I look at this list, I haven't seen Detective Pikachu. I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Because it sounds weird and fun. So maybe I'd pick that one if I'd seen it. But
right
now, we're going with Mortal Kombat.
All right.
And
Detective Pikachu in theaters now.
Street Fighter was Raul Julia's last movie, and he was a really good M. Bison.
Yikes.
That gets a significant other.
Street Fighter. Oh,
I know. What a way to go down. That's like Orson Welles being Unicron in the Transformers movie as his last role. Ugh.
All right. Question five. If there was a god or gods, would you rather it be super strict with its rules like Yahweh or prone to making monsters out of the women Zeus seduced while looking like a bull? I have preferences of the Taurus persuasion.
Oh, boy.
So I guess, what would you prefer? Like the Abrahamic god or you know, along those lines where there's lots of rules, or the crazy gods that are actually like in our lives and fucking with us and like raping your women, and maybe not raping, let's say seducing
your
women.
The gods that are more like people are more interesting.
I agree.
The gods that have a nature or an affinity.
And have needs.
Yeah,
and
like the god of agriculture, the god of, you know, fertility, the god of
childhood.
Whatever.
I would take Aphrodite over
Yahweh.
Yahweh, sorry, Athena.
Athena.
I would take Athena over Yahweh.
I bet you'd take Aphrodite, you dirty bitch.
Well, I wouldn't have a choice. I mean,
Aphrodite would take me and everybody else. Yeah. I think as people who dabbled in paganism, right? Like, that's one of those things that that appealed to me.
Which pantheon?
Ooh. I would go
fictional
Greek.
Or mythological.
I feel like I'm torn between Greek and Egyptian pantheons just because they're very similar. The Egyptian pantheons, the gods are a little bit more aloof in the stories I've read. I do like the Greek, you know, pantheon of how they meddle I enjoy the idea of them being petty and making bets about us and shit like that. Like, Job was always my most interest. It was always a story I thought was really interesting in the Abrahamic Bible, where it's like God and the devil being like, no, hold on. I'm going to fuck with this guy. Yeah. I'm going to see if I can make him hate you. No, go for it. He won't. Like, and I think, yeah, the Greek probably.
I go Norse.
Norse?
Yeah.
I'm more Greek.
Yeah.
But the Norse are pretty cool too.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. All the Asatru stuff's pretty great.
Yeah.
There's lots of feasting, and I like the idea of there being different heavens depending on what you were best at.
Yeah. Or like what your career was.
What your thing was. Yeah.
The main thing is that I don't like beer, and nectar sounds better. So from a drink ambrosia. Perspective, from a drink and eat perspective, I guess I'm a little more into the Greeks food.
I legitimately thought when I first had a salad that my grandmother said was ambrosia salad, which I believe is like whipped cream, maraschino cherries, like mini marshmallows, little oranges, like and coconut. When I ate that, and she was like, "Oh, this is ambrosia," and I was like, "This is ambrosia?" And I was like, I was super into Greek mythology, so I was convinced that, like, this was ambrosia. That, like, we had the recipe, and my grandma knew how to make it. And it was like, I could see why the gods would eat this all day. This is amazing. And, like, I was genuinely convinced that was the actual stuff.
Uh-huh.
Thanks, Nate. Those are good questions. Nate.
That was all five?
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Hey. If you have five questions that you'd like us to answer on the podcast, send them to 5questions@geekswithoutgod.com. And if you are a Patreon subscriber and throw us a few bucks to help us get new equipment and register our domain name and all that jazz and our hosting, we will bump you to the top of the list, which is the bottom of the Patreon list, which is to say, if other patrons have put theirs in before you, obviously they'll get read before you, but you'll be read before someone who's not a patron. I think I've made that abundantly clear.
Mm-hmm. I think it pretty much covered it.
Yeah. But we did just pay our web hosting bill and our domain registrar bill.
Thank you.
Yeah, and we did that because of y'all. Otherwise, it would have been out of pocket like it was the first several years.
Yeah.
So that's great. That was a good feeling. And that's all because of you folks supporting us.
Truth.
Otherwise, we will, as always, be back with another episode next week, probably on the day that comes between Monday and Wednesday.
We'll see you next Tuesday.
Bye.
No one can hear that.
I know. It's so beautiful, though.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging and listen to past podcasts at geekswithoutgod.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
To let you both know now, my outro is just going to be typing.